And I'm glad that he's always available. He's always there to help us. And I pray this morning that he will help in the service. If you would turn to Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 42. I'll do something a little different this morning. I hardly ever use the PowerPoint in a message, but felt sort of compelled to do it this morning to not only hear what we say, but to maybe look at some things. And we have the philosophy in school that if a teacher says it and the student hears it and the student writes it, it's something that they will remember a little bit better. And so you hear it this morning, you'll see it this morning, and if you want to write it down, you can probably do that too. And because it's a fairly simple message, an easy message, but it's a very, very important message. I'm going to pose to you a very important question this morning in this chapter. And the verse says, "What think ye of Christ?" Look at verse number 42 of Matthew chapter 22. It says, well, we'll look at verse 41. It says, "While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is him? Is he? And they said unto him, The son of David." Here the Lord is gathered together with the Pharisees. This has been his crowd of enemies from all his ministry. They were always posed against the Lord, and now he's gathered with them. And he asked them a question. And it's a very thought-provoking question. And the question is, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" And this morning, as we ponder that question, I want us to think today how important this question is to all of us. We see we're coming up on the holidays. We are coming up on the Thanksgiving season. We come up on the Christmas season. And there are all kind of things that are put before us that present to us many different ideas and many different ideologies of who Christ is or who He was. Some of them have no idea, but yet they put their thought before us. As I said last Sunday, I say again this morning that the main thing that we have that we can depend upon is the Word of God, is what thus saith the Lord. And so this morning I want us to look in the Scripture and see some things about our Lord. What think you of Christ? And we're going to find out, we're going to look and want you to ask yourself the question, who is He? Now, who is the Lord? And then, who is He to you? I believe any message that we bring ought to not only just be a general message, but I believe ought to bring it down personally to you and I. Not only do who we think the Lord is as far as the world is concerned, but who is the Lord in my heart? Who is the Lord in my life? And what do I feel and how do I accept and how do I believe concerning His ministry that He had in His life some 2,000 years ago, that is still very effective in our lives today? So the question is not only who was He or who is He, but who is He to you and who is He to me? And how do I present Him to a world that we are living in day by day, and we're struggling sometimes to get our message across, and sometimes it's very difficult. I mean, we need to understand that there was a man named Jesus, and he had a ministry, and that ministry is still very effective in our world today. There have been many people that have been asked the question, who he is. There are many that have answered the question, the testimony from many in the Word of God. And I've just jotted down a few of them that we'll look at as we go through the first part of the message. Some folks that we've pulled out of the Scripture and just give a little segment of who they said Jesus was and who He was to them. Well, the disciples named Thomas. Of course, when we think of Thomas, we remember him as who? That one that doubted. Just because one day he said, "I'm not going to believe unless I see the nail prints in his hand and the scars in his side." But Thomas made the statement one day in his own life that what he believed about the Lord, he says, "He's my Lord and He's my God." I'm thankful this morning that I can identify with Thomas's statement. And I can also many times identify with Thomas's doubting, because all of us have those fears and all of us have those things that come to our life that we're not sure about. And sometimes we just have to see it before we will believe it. And that's where Thomas was. But the main purpose and the focus of his life was that he believed and he realized that Jesus Christ was his Lord. And by the way, the word Christ here, whom, what think you of Christ? That word Christ is the word that we would, that the Jew would say is Messiah. And Jesus asked those Jewish Pharisees, who do you think Messiah is? What do you think about him? And he used that that word Christ to identify who he was. And Thomas said, he's my Lord. That word Lord means master. He's my God. He's my sovereign. And Thomas certainly had a great testimony as to who the Lord was. Simon Peter, he makes that great confession there in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16. Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's not a greater confession anywhere in the Bible than what Peter said about the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou art the Christ. That means He's the one and only. That little word the in front of that means there's no one else can take His place. He's the only one. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son. There's not four or five sons of God. There is the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, His name, Jesus Christ. And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son. And then he says, of the living God. And so Peter had a real understanding of what think you of Christ. Very clear how that he dealt in his ministry. The centurion that stood by as Jesus died there upon the cross of Calvary, when it was all said and done, that Roman centurion that watched Jesus die and he heard those seven sayings that Jesus uttered from the cross, he says, truly this man was the Son of God. Truly he was. Certainly he was the Son of God. And here's a Gentile Roman soldier that is there guarding the cross of the Lord. And as Jesus dies, he sees and he hears and he experiences things in his life that he wasn't expecting to experience that day. And as Jesus died, he said he had to be, he surely was the Son of God. Then you have John the Baptist. Of course, one of the great statements of John the Baptist when he saw Jesus coming to him. As John was baptizing in the River Jordan, he saw the Lord coming and probably had never met his cousin Jesus. And he had never met him, and yet when he saw the Lord coming, he said, behold the Lamb of God. And I didn't put the rest of the verse on there for space. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And so John had a clear understanding of who he thought and what he thought about this man called Jesus and this man called Messiah. The Father in heaven, he says, this is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. As Jesus was baptized there in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, and he puts him under the water, he brings him up, and a dove comes, and a voice from heaven, the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And so he identified who Jesus was. Then we have Pilate, even Pilate, that one that we think about so many times, and I've mentioned it so many times, and I guess I need to just preach a message on the words of Pilate, because everything that Pilate said about the Lord Jesus Christ was true. Pilate looked at him, Pilate judged him, Pilate was wrong in what he did, and Pilate was a lost man, but everything he said and everything that he uttered about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can look it up in the Gospels, and look up the words of Pilate. What he said about the Lord was always true. And Pilate identifies and he says, I find no fault in him. What a great statement that is from a man that has no idea what and who the Lord was. What a great statement it is from a man that was of great authority. He was a governor. He was high authority in the Roman government. And he said, I find no fault in him. I can't find anything wrong. You know why he couldn't find anything wrong with the Lord? There wasn't anything wrong with the Lord. You know why he couldn't find any sin in Christ? Because there was no sin in the Lord. You know why he couldn't find any fault with Him? It's because there was no fault with our Savior. And thank God He died, that perfect, pure, spotless Lamb of God, to take away our sins. And so Pilate says, I find no fault in Him. Mary, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, she called Him Master. And certainly He is our Master. The thief on the cross called Him Lord. That man that was dying there beside Him, and before long they were going to be in eternity, he calls him Lord, he realized that this man was different than all the other men that he'd ever met and all that he'd ever had any ideas of having connections with. When Jesus was born, the angels from heaven, they made clear identity as to who the Lord was. Angels, what think ye of Christ? And they said, born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Messiah, the Master. So there we have these so many. And go on. And in the book of Acts, the Ethiopian eunuch, as he heard the preaching of the Word of God, he says, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And the preacher said, if you believe, then you can. And this Ethiopian eunuch, he says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's all you have to believe, by the way. I believe He is the Son of God, trusting Him, believing upon Him, and putting Him and having Him have residence in our heart and to come up and be that special Savior that He is. I didn't put Judas on this list, but even Judas made some statements, and one that he made right at the end of what had taken place and his betrayal, he says, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. What think you of Christ? See, the greatest question that could ever be answered by all of us, any of us, is this question, what think ye of Christ? How are we going to identify with this man called Jesus? Well, there's a lot of common misinformation. There's a lot of things that we hear so much and we find so many times. And the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 16, and these verses are very common to those of us that study the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus comes to the coast with His disciples, and He asks His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do they say that I am? And so He's asking His disciples. And there was some misinformation here that was in these verses in Matthew 16. And so His disciples, they said, some say that Thou art John the Baptist. See, John's already been beheaded. John's already died. And there are those that are saying, John's come back to life and he's back with us. No, that's not who Jesus is. Some say Elias or Elias. Others say Jeremiah, so one of the prophets. But He saith unto them, whom say ye that I am? See, that's the important thing. It's not what they say. It's not what they think. But child of God, Christian, disciple of the Lord, whom say ye that I am? What think ye of Christ? And Simon Peter answered. I've said so many times, I love Simon Peter. I can identify with him, but I'll tell you so many times when Peter answers, he answers the right question. Sometimes he has the wrong attitude in his answer. Sometimes his actions do not necessarily portray what we ought to be, but I can identify with that also. Peter was just a man like you and I. He's a human being like we are. But here Peter has his wits about him and he says these words, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the verse I had a while ago. And Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So, whom do men say that I am? There's a lot of ideas here in the day of the Lord. There were some ideas. Why, he's Jeremiah. Why, he's one of the Old Testament prophets. He's Elias. He's Elijah. He's one of those that have come back. He's John the Baptist, but they had a problem knowing really who the Lord Jesus Christ was. Jesus had been with these men almost 3 years and He's asked them this question about others. And now He says, but who do you say? The religious world has an opinion. This morning, the religious world has an opinion about who the Lord is. They have an idea, but sometimes their idea is so far off and it has nothing to do with truth. You remember, the religious world is the group that crucified our Lord. It was the scribes, it was the Pharisees, it was the Sadducees. It was that religious crowd that saw them losing ground and saw them losing people to this man called Jesus. He's the one that started this new thing called church. Simon Peter,
you're a small stone and you're just one of many. But he said, upon this rock, speaking of himself, I will build my church. And so we find that the world during the Lord's day, they saw something new and they didn't like what they saw. Even Saul of Tarsus, he didn't like. He was a very zealous man. He was a very active man. He was a very busy man for his religion. And he says, even himself, he said, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He said, I was top dog. And oh, he met the Lord one day on the road to Damascus, and that changed his idea as to who Jesus was. I met the Lord one day. You met the Lord one day if you're a Christian. If you're born again, you have that personal experience. And by the way, salvation is a personal experience. It's something that is between you and God. It's not something between you and somebody else or learning a set of facts. It's something between God and you. And He comes and lets you know what you need. And thank God, we that are born again, we realize that we have been saved by His grace. And so we find that the religious world did not have too much good and right to say about the Lord. Oh, they said He's a good man, He did good deeds. How many times have I heard that? How many times have you heard that? Well, Jesus was a good man. Well, He was maybe one of the prophets, but now, really, you think He was God? Oh, yes, I know He was God. He was a good man. He did good things. And certainly we can look in the Scripture and see that He was a good man. He did good deeds. He fed the thousands. I mean, if you want a social program, Jesus could take care of that social program. Out of just a 5 loaves, 2 fishes, he fed a whole lot more than we could even imagine. So socially, He did good things. And He fed the 4,000. He fed on different occasions, different ones. And so, socially, the Lord was a good man. He fed many. He blessed the children. Even His disciples would say, take the children away. They bother the Master. And the Lord said, no, you let the little children come unto Me. He cared about children. He cared about young people. He cared about people. And when the disciples would say, send them away, Jesus said, no, bring them to Me, whether it be young or old. The Lord was always open. And so He was a good man, and He did good deeds. Not only was He a good man, but we find He was a good teacher. These are some misconceptions. And all of them are true to a point, but they don't go far enough. They're true to a certain place, but they do not go to the extent of where Jesus was in His life. He was a good man, but more than that, He was the God-man. And that made the difference in His life and others. He was a good teacher. There's no greater sermon in the world that could ever be preached than the Sermon on the Mount. We read about that last Sunday night there, the Sermon on the Mount. If you read it aloud and if you looked in the Gospels and took that particular portion of Scripture, and if you read it even with the emphasis in the right places, it would only take you 20 to 25 minutes to read the Sermon on the Mount. My, what a message. He was a good teacher. Even those around Him called Him Rabbi, which means teacher. He wasn't a rabbi as far as the Jews were concerned, but He was a teacher. He was a master. He could speak and people would listen. And the misconception was that He was just a good teacher. But oh no, He's much more than that. When He was a young man in his early age, and Joseph and his mother Mary, when they left Him at the temple, He confused, confounded even the scholars of His day because of the wisdom that He had. Just being a 12, 13-year-old boy, He was a good teacher. More than a good man, more than a good teacher, He's God. And they never take it to that point. And that's the misconception that the world has about our Lord. He's a good healer. Well, Jesus healed the sick. And certainly the Bible is full of how Jesus did those things. The Bible is full of what the Lord did and how He took those that were deaf and all of a sudden they could hear. That one man that had his own testimony before the sort of like a trial of who he was and what happened. He said, I don't know who he was, but I do know one thing.
I was blind, now I can see. He said, I don't know all about him. I don't know all about what you're saying, but he said, but I can see you where before him I could not see.
Praise the Lord. He's a healer. He might go into a place and there would be a father or a mother that would come, and his child is ravaged by fever. And the Lord just says, he is healed. Doesn't even have to be there. He's a healer. He could go to the cemetery and say, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. That's pretty good healing from dead to life. Thank God that's what he did to you and I one day. He brought us from spiritual death to spiritual life. He gave us liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is a great healer. Now there's others probably that could take some of these physical weaknesses and can make them better. There were physicians of that day. But when they visited the great physician, he made the difference. And misconception, he's just a good man. Just a good teacher. Just a good healer. Oh, but he's much more than that. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's not just good. He's the one and only. And so the world looks at everybody and everything and they say, what think you of Christ? And they may come up with those things that we see there. He's a good man. You'll listen to the radio or the TV and you'll listen to the stories coming up and you'll listen to some of the religious things that come on television. And they'll tell you some of these things about our Lord. But they will not go as far as the Bible goes. Many of them will not make that journey and say, yes, He was God. Even those that have written books. Now, I like Bill O'Reilly, but his book on killing Jesus is not gospel. I've heard him make statements that it's not gospel. And so there's a lot of folks that will make good statements, but it's a misconception about who really what think of Christ or what we should think of Christ. They talk about the good deeds and the good things that the Lord did, but they fall short and they have a hard time saying, well, He was God. I heard last year two or three interviews with people that you could tell by the way they were dressed. They were religious people. They had on their particular thing that they wear as a religious leader. And not a one of them would admit that they believed that Jesus Christ was God. They fall short. But my Bible says He's God in the flesh. The Scripture. And by the way, I hope that we would never take the word of a preacher. I hope we would never take a word of just an individual person. We ought to identify with what this book says. For this book here is final authority. I mean, it's finished. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, He said, it is finished. That means there's nothing else going to be done. You don't have to add to it, take away from it. When Jesus died, He completed the work of redemption that we might have life. And you can read the same words out of a Bible like this one that's just about worn out. Somebody say, how long you had that Bible? Long time. How long you preached out of that Bible? Long time. I've got it taped. I've had it rebound. But you can take this book or you can take a brand new one that costs $250 or you can take a dollar store Bible and read the same thing. It is final authority. So it doesn't matter to me what religion says or what religious people say, but it does matter to us and it should matter to us what the Bible says. So the common misinformation and misconceptions is that He was a good person. What think you of Christ? Now, there's some correct information about that. There's some things that's given to us in the Scripture that gives us total truth about who the Lord was. And I don't have the time to go into all these things and I wish we could. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 verse 7 says, but if you walk in the light as He is in the light, you have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, here's the key to it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. There's a truth about the Lord. Not only could He say, you are able to walk, but He says, you can live and you can have life and your sins be forgiven. There's not a man in this world that can forgive my sins except Him. Amen. There's not a person that's living that can forgive your sin because it is He that died. And the Scripture tells us that He has gone and He's faithful, He's just, and He forgives us of our sins and He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Somebody said, well, I'm a pretty good person. I've done this, I've done that, I've done here this, I don't do this, I don't do that. And Isaiah says, all of our righteousnesses are filthy rags. Isaiah says, everything that we've ever done good is still not good enough. That's why we're saved by grace. That's why we're saved by the mercy of the Lord and the grace of God that has taught us and showed us that we are sinners and we must have a Savior. That's why He wasn't just a good man. That's why He was a God man. That's why He wasn't a good teacher. That meant that's why He's the greatest of teachers. That's why He far exceeds and excels above all others, because He is the only one that's able and capable to say, thy sins be forgiven. And so, we walk in truth if we confess our sins. As a Christian this morning, we should have very high thoughts of our Lord. I mean, He's not just a mere man. He's not just like you and I. It's almost sacrilegious. Well, I believe it is sacrilegious. It's very ungodly to bring Jesus Christ down to my standard. Because He's not where I'm not where He is. And thank God He came one day to where I was. He that was rich became poor. He that owned it all gave it up that He might come and be laid in a manger and have no home of His own and would spend nights with friends and would die on a rugged cross and be buried in a barred tomb. He gave it all up that I might one day that have nothing might go to a mansion that I haven't even done a thing on it to make it right, because He's gone to prepare a place for us. I that have nothing as far as the world is concerned, yet I'm told in the Word of God that I have a great inheritance waiting for me in heaven. He did that because He loved me. What think you of Christ? He is that one that far excels and exceeds all others. And our thoughts of the Lord should be very high, should be lifted up. We should magnify the Lord. We should present Him and magnify and exalt Him to a world that all they have is He's just a good man. We must go much farther than that. We should be trustful and have thoughts of the Lord that we trust Him. You know how much, and only one I can speak for is me. You know how much I've put trust, how much trust I have put in Jesus Christ? I've put enough that if it's not right, then I'll die and go to hell. But I trust Him. And I know that He will do what He said He would do. He said, I will in no wise cast out. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. The Philippian jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas, they just simply said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt. Religion has so mixed that up. Religion has so made that hard.
Religion has put us to the point that so many people are saying, I hope I go to heaven. I'm trying to get to heaven. When that book there, Final Authority, says I can know I'm going to heaven because of what He has done. And so we have the right concepts and the information that is correct. High thoughts and trustful thoughts. I trust Him with my life. I trust Him with my eternity. If this book is not real, then it doesn't matter. But if it is real, I'm on the winning side. So we have high thoughts of our Lord. We have trustful thoughts of our Lord. Should have grand thoughts. I mean, He's the greatest of the great. He is that one that we think of, and we don't just merely think of Him with our heads. We think of Him with our hearts. Of who we really are. The daily gift and the care that He gives to us. What wonderful things that they are. We have found Him to be true. We have found Him to give life. We have proven over and over again, tested and tried, that He loves me. Have loving and reverent thoughts. The Bible tells us that we're to never take the Lord's name in vain. The Scripture says, don't bring Him down. Vain. There's a lot of things that we sometimes overlook as vain things or vain words. We know what the word vain means. I've said it enough times, you ought to know. It says it means what? Empty. Vain thought, empty thoughts about the Lord. We should never take His name in vain. We should never bring Him down, as I said a while ago, down to our level. For He is far above. We use the word cursing. We know what that is. We understand putting God's name with other words, and that's wicked and wrong. But you know, there's vain words about the Lord that we need to be careful about. Sometimes people say, oh Christ. That's vain. Well, Jesus Christ. It's not good. And so, when we think about the Lord, we ought to be thinking reverent thoughts, and we ought to be thinking the loving thoughts of what He has done for us and how He has blessed us and how good He has been to me. If we were to go around the room this morning, I'll not do it. I wouldn't embarrass anybody for anything. But I could ask you the question, what think you of Christ? What do you really think? We know who He is. We know what the world says about Him. We know what the Bible says about Him. But what think we of Christ? What's our attitude toward the Lord? The first question that would come to my mind when talking to people is about the Lord. Do you know Him? I'm talking about knowing Him like I know Brother Jay Clark. Like Brother Earl, Stephen, all you folks that I know. Knowing Him on a personal relationship, knowing the Lord. Not just I know of the governor. Go no further. I know of him. But I don't know him. But I know Jay. I know Justin. I know Brother Bradley and Brother Chris and Brother Darrell. I could name all these names in here. Brother Noble, Tom. I know you. Sit around your table and we've talked. And that's how we need to know the Lord. not just about Him,
but know Him. Who is He to you? That's the question. Is He just a good man? Is He just a good influence?
Is He a good physician? No, He's a great physician. He's not called good physician, He's a great physician.
Is that what He is?
He needs to be much more than that.
He doesn't just want to be your acquaintance, He wants to be your Lord.
He doesn't want to just be somebody that you pull out of the shelf when you need Him. He don't want to be somebody that you fall down and pray to because there's struggles in your life. He doesn't want to be that kind of Lord. For that kind of Lord is no Lord at all. But He does want to be that personal, intimate Savior that has said, "Thy sins be forgiven." That's what He desires. That's what He wants.
We live in a very religious world this morning. But I'm afraid the world just knows about the Lord. Some of them don't want to know anything. But the religious world just knows about Him.
But now I'm talking about saved people. Not just religious. That word religion, so broad.
But you come down to the words, really, scriptural terminology is the best. Jesus said you must be what? Born again. So to the born again people, that narrows it way down. What think we of Christ? To those that are, good word, saved. What think ye of Christ? Is He more than just a little companion that follows along and is there when you need Him? He's much more than that. He desires to be your master, desires to be your Lord. He desires to be the first and foremost thing in your life. The Lord said, if you put anything else between us and Him, then that has become our idol. And God's not an idol. He's a person. Jesus is not an idol. He's a person. He's not somebody that used to be. Thank God, He's somebody that is and forever shall be. What think you of Christ? Who is He to you? Let's stand this morning.